I just wanted to bring a shorter devotional thought this morning. And I've got to confess that it has been largely borrowed from somebody else, but it's good. And anything that I should bring should not be original anyway, because it should be from the Bible. So I think I've got a bit of permission to steal. but we're in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, and we're going to look at a very well-known parable that Jesus told. But before we do, I want to ask a question. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God loves you? Yes, we do. We do. And sometimes it's good to verbalise that, just to remind us. We think about the psalmist, and he had to speak to himself. Come on, bless the Lord, O my soul. And do we know God loves you? Yes. Do you love God? Hopefully, the answer is yes. And, you know, it can be difficult, and it can be in spite of what goes on, and we know that. But do you love God? Yes. But if I was to ask, why do you love God? Why? What would our answer be? What would our answer be? We're going to look at Luke 15 and the story that Jesus told, starting in verse 11. Why did these sons love the Father? Why did they want anything to do with the Father? I want to encourage us this morning that we not just love God for what he can give us, but we love him for who he is. So Luke 15, this is a parable of Jesus. He spoke it in response to some Pharisees who at the start of the chapter saw Jesus eating and spending time with tax collectors and sinners. These people who were hated by the religious crowd, but they drew near to him to hear him. They were attracted to Jesus, whereas the Pharisees thought they were a bit better than that. So verse 11 says, then he, Jesus, said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Many of us are familiar with this story, and we can rehearse it in our heads, can't we? We know what's going to come. But think about how shocking this was right at the start of the story. A father's got two sons, and the younger of which says what? Divide to us the portion of goods that belongs to us. The son basically says, Dad, you're taking too long to die. I just want what is my inheritance anyway. It's a really terrible thing that the son says. More important to this son than having his father around is just having what the father could give him. He's more concerned about what he can get from his dad. So verse 12, the father divided to them his livelihood. And we see three times in this story that the father is shamed. He's shamed here because of what goes on. In verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. The son, perhaps he's given a field, perhaps he's given some animals, and what's he do? He sells them, and he's probably got to sell them to the people in his area. So everybody knows, oh, this man has got what is his father's inheritance. How has he got that? And then the story comes out that his son has dishonored him. But the father shamed himself. He was willing to do this even. So the father is shamed here. So after the son gets what he wants from his father, he leaves town, doesn't he? And it says that he goes and he wastes his possessions with prodigal living. That just means excessive, wasteful. And I thought there's some people who, when they get in a fix, they beg God. They, God, give me this. Give me this, God. And then in return, I'll do this. But as soon as they get what they've asked for, they're never seen again, are they? And they walk away. Similar to what this son was like. Let's continue on with the story that Jesus told. Verse 14. But when he, the younger son, had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? The son is really sunk down into the depths, hasn't he? For what presumably is a Jewish boy to then go and feed pigs, which are an unclean animal to them. How far he's come. He's gone from a stable home with his dad to the pits. But then he thinks in verse 17, when he came to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And we know from this point the son begins to think how he can return, doesn't he? But notice, the son is still thinking about what he can get from his father, isn't he? He's thinking, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So we commend him because he's returning to his father, isn't he? But he's still got this mindset that it's because I want to get from him. And how is he approaching his father? What did he say? What was his plan? What was he going to go and say when he came to his dad? I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against heaven and before you. Make me like one of your hired servants. He knows that he's got no basis for coming to the father, doesn't he? No reason for the father to accept him because he's his son. He thinks he's blown it. He thinks, I've not only failed my father, but I've actually shamed him. So he thinks, well, I'm going to have to come back and I'm going to have to earn my way. I'm going to have to make myself like a hired servant for him to accept me and for him to give me just what I need. But then let's continue on. Verse 20. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Just look at that verse and think of all the action words that take place there, all the verbs. What's it say? Of his father. When the son was still a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father saw him even when he was a long way off, didn't he? What does that mean? It means the father was looking for him. He was, we can imagine, we aren't told these details, but we can imagine the father, when he'd wake up in the morning, he'd go and he'd look across the horizon and think, is my son returning today? He was looking for him. And then what else do we see in that verse? What are the action words? He saw him. And he had compassion. We know that he runs, but what was his motive for running? It was because he had compassion. His motive for running wasn't, oh, he's finally coming, I'm going to tell him. He had compassion. He felt it in himself. A great compassion for his son who was afar off. And father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I'm going to read to you from Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. this is what the law said should happen to a rebellious son. Deuteronomy 21 verse 18 says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That's what the law prescribed to a stubborn and rebellious son, to one who was wasteful, who was a glutton and a drunkard. And the father knew that his estranged son would suffer wrath at the hands of the people. He knew that he deserved to be stoned according to the law, so he ran. This is the only time that you see a father running I think it's fair to say the Bible, definitely the New Testament. Because running, for a man in those days, you know what they wore? They wore a long robe, and they got a sash tied around them. You can't really run in a skirt very well, so what a man would have to do is hitch up his robe, and he'd tie it up, and it would expose his knobbly knees. For a man to expose his knees in that culture, that was a shocking thing. That was terrible. The father, again, shames himself for the sake of his son. He's willing to run. And he runs there, and he grabs hold of his son first. So in case anybody does stone, the first stones would hit the father who's embracing the son. Verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. He begins his speech, doesn't he, that he's rehearsed. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. The best robe would be the father's robe, probably. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You notice when the son started his speech, what was it that he wasn't able to get to in time? He said, Father, I've sinned against you, I've sinned against heaven, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Something that was missed off. Make me like one of your hired servants. Before he could say that and say, Dad, I'm going to try and earn my way back. Before he could even get there, the father says, bring the best robe, bring the ring, bring the sandals. Let us make merry. The ring is a sign of sonship. The robe, it's a sign of acceptance. And the robe would cover this man. He's been working with pigs. He's dirty. He'd be covered. And the sandals, well, servants didn't wear sandals. Instead of a funeral that this son should have deserved from the law, because he should have been stoned, he has a feast prepared for him by his father. And that's grace. Imagine how this son felt. Imagine how he felt. He thought he was going to have to come and maybe not even get paid for the first week. Maybe he's just going to have to work solidly. He's going to think, I can't even look at my father because I've let him down. I'm just going to have to work really hard and make myself like the lowest servant. But what does he find happens? He finds his father is looking for him, has compassion on him, runs to him, embraces him, throws a feast for him. I'd planned to go on a little further, but I think we'll stop there. We would see the father shaming himself again for the sake of the elder brother, because he goes out and pleads with him. This self-righteous son who thought, I have always worked, therefore I should deserve something from you, but you've never given it. that son who was obviously only faithful to his father for what he could get. But I just wanted to think really about this younger son. I think that's more appropriate for this morning. At first, he was like, God, give me what I want. And then, thank you for that, but bye. I don't want any more to do with you. Thanks, God. Bye. And then, when he comes back, he thinks, I need to work for this and work really hard, and then I might be able to provide for myself. But think about how the father shamed himself for his son. He ran, he bared his knees. Jesus is a parallel to the father in this story, isn't he? Think of how Jesus shamed himself for me, for you. He was willing to not only come from heaven to this earth, but to be born in the lowest of places. Maybe not a pigsty, because it was in Bethlehem at the end of the day, but an animal stall. He was willing to not even have a place for him to lay his head to rest. The Bible says that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. And then he shamed himself at the cross, because he was stripped, he was beaten, he was mocked. He shamed himself and he was nailed to the tree. What was it that motivated him? Compassion. Did the son deserve it? No. Do I deserve it? No. But compassion motivated him. And then the father ran and he embraced his son. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. And remember, he deserved to be stoned, didn't he, this son, according to the law? If I got what the law demanded of me, the soul that sins shall die, Ezekiel says. The wages of sin is death. But what did Jesus, our Saviour, do? He protected us from the wrath that we deserve. The stones that should have been thrown at the Son, if they were, would have hit the Father first. Jesus absorbed the wrath of God that should be laid on me, so that I could be protected. There's a story about a boy who lived on a farm. And he had animals kept in his barn, and he used to really love the animals. But one night, there was a lightning storm, and it hit the barn, and it set it on fire. So the farmers ran in and out. They were loosing the horses, trying to get them out before the fire came. And he thought they'd got everything out. But then the next day, when things had settled down, there was just a charred remains of the barn. The little boy was kicking around in the remains, and he found the charred remains of what looked like an animal. It was a little hen. A hen was in there. And he noticed that it was in a position like this. What the hen had done is it had protected the chicks underneath it. The chicks were still alive, because mother hen had taken the fire to protect the chicks, and they survived through the fire. Jesus did the same for us. And then he rose again. And he lives. And the same Jesus who loved us enough to go to the cross still loves us today. And he still has compassion. And he knows our weaknesses. He welcomed this undeserving son to himself in grace. He gave him a new identity. And he threw a feast for him, because his son that was dead was now alive. Our God loves us. So different to even what an earthly father would be able to do. Far beyond that. Far beyond any religious system that the world has. And beyond any earning that we can do. He loves us. So let us not just love God for what he can give us, but to love him for who he is. He's the one whose mercies never fail. They're new every morning. His faithfulness is great. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards us. We fear it. And his love endures, doesn't it? Let's just take some time now as we remember him, to focus, to give thanks, and to let our hearts bless him for who he is, not just what we can get from him.